But first to the story of the week, at least in terms of evolving foreign policy and brinkmanship of the highest order. I'm referring to the on-again, off-again plans by President Barack Obama to launch a strike on Syria in retaliation for the blatant and what increasingly many people now regard as the obvious use of chemical weapons by the Assad regime. Watching the story unfold this week, and with new episodes afoot, as you would have heard on the news and AM, coming from Geneva, what began as a crisis over Syria's chemical weapons has morphed into a dramatic struggle for power and international legitimacy between Obama and Vladimir Putin. And judging by the latest developments, in a sense, the Russian leader seems to have the upper hand. Joining me now with his insights, I'm delighted to say, is Dr. Kurt Campbell, former US Assistant Secretary of State for East Asian and Pacific Affairs. He's chairman of the Asia Group, a strategic advisory firm. He was also named as a 2013 Lowy Institute Distinguished International Fellow, so he's due to visit us a bit later this year. Kurt Campbell, welcome to Saturday Extra.
Great. It's great to be with you. A little surprised when I tuned in. We were talking about crickets. I thought I was on the wrong show.
No, you're right. There's so much tactics around at the moment. I mean, how has this issue turned from disciplining Syria to Russia recasting itself as a dominant world power and to America looking temporally anyway as if it's lost some legitimacy?
Yeah, I think we have to be honest that it's played poorly for the United States over the course of the last couple of days. And this is among the most vexing issues that the United States has confronted in recent history. It is undeniably the case that the president looked at this situation, saw no clear options, and wanted, perhaps at all costs, to avoid a situation where we became involved yet again in another military conflict. And I think took steps over the course of the last couple of years to avoid signaling that we were prepared to do such a thing. The red line language associated with chemical weapons, however, has triggered a series of unintended consequences. And now we find ourselves in a set of circumstances where, you know, the Russians and the Syrians are setting the terms for how we might do some form of disarmament, how to put it in a larger context. And I'm afraid it's a very tough period. Ultimately, I think we have to recognize that this is a set of circumstances where there are very few good options, and we are dealing with an absolutely brutal regime. But at the same time, I doubt that there probably aren't very many people in the administration that if they could go back a couple of weeks, they'd do things a little bit differently. And I just think it's a very tough time, and we're just going to have to slog through it.
I want to play you now Time Magazine's executive editor Michael Duffy, who was on the ABC's Late Line program earlier this week, and it was partly what he said which alerted me to just how serious this has become in terms of perceptions of President Obama's strength.
I think he's caught up in being the law professor rather than the president. You know, I sometimes the job hands you situations for which, you know, your thoughts, beliefs, and statements just really don't apply. And I think he would have been well out of this and had he just acted. Now I think he sent a very different signal to Syria about what its maneuvering room is. Certainly he sent a very different message to Iran than he was talking about 5 or 6 or a year months ago. I think he really has given a lot of power away here, and the public knows that. It's watched it. Democrats and liberals in the Democratic Party are watching almost with averted eyes, saying, oh, I can't believe this is happening.
Mm. And Michael Duffy, you know, who doesn't normally speak like that, do you share his view that how did it so suddenly become such a major test of Obama?
Look, I don't think it's as stark as that, and every presidency faces these moments of almost crystalline challenge. I worked closely with President Obama, mostly in Asia. I found his judgment to be solid. He's careful. He's cool as the other side of the pillow. He has a very clear agenda for the United States, which is to refocus attention more on Asia, to recognize the limits of American involvement in some of these very difficult circumstances in which there are no clear answers, like Egypt, like Syria, to recognize that Americans want to focus on domestic pursuits. And I think that has been his overarching agenda going forward. I don't believe that the president has acted in this set of circumstances as a law professor. I think he's trying to choose from a number of very, very difficult options. Mm. And when Michael Duffy, who I respect, says the president should just act, let's just recognize what that could lead to. If we intervened too much inside of Syria, that could trigger refugees, regional strife, bring to power an Islamic government in Syria that is in no one's best interests. So it's not the kind of situation that renders, easy solutions. And to act in that way could trigger things that are much worse than what we are facing. So I think his calculus primarily is sort of a political lens.
Yes.
Winning, who's winning politically, who's losing politically in the United States, where I actually believe the presidential responsibility, and sometimes it's deeply unpopular, is to do what's best ultimately in the long-term interests of the nation, of our partners in the surrounding region, and to try to be careful. When in doubt, err on the side of being prudent.
Well, look, I of course agree with you because I want to agree with that whole idea. But in foreign affairs, perceptions are vital too, aren't they? And particularly in the Middle East, and I've read this, and it's sort of so on display. It's the strong men versus the rest, and if the rest are perceived as weak. Now, you've been in this setup yourself, exploring nuanced positions and exploring options that are in line with your own values. If that exposes you to being accused of being weak, you might indeed set off forces that you least wish to. So, I appreciate it's a work in progress. This whole story has quite a way to run. But how do you keep a perception of strength? Because that does matter, clearly.
Yeah, look, I would simply say this is the same president that went after Osama bin Laden, who has worked very hard in both Iraq and Afghanistan, who has stood up to China on cybersecurity, has worked hard to build architecture in Asia. So I think the important thing here is, as I said, every presidency faces these moments of crisis in which you want to look away. Mm. The key is to put it, and remember there's a larger perspective here. And I defy you, anyone who is openly critical and saying, what a disaster, ask that person to give you the other solution, right? Tell that person to give you another course of action that is more prudent. Now, the truth is, if we can get the Syrians involved in a serious peace effort, if we can get them to relinquish their chemical weapons, that's a big deal. But if, as some fear, that Russia and Syria are involved in a prevarication exercise, then I think the president is going to be stronger in his determination to take necessary steps, and the region as a whole will embrace difficult course of action. But even then, I just want to underscore to your listeners, so it may be satisfying, yeah, we struck them, we acted, we showed them. It's what comes next that worries people. This is not a situation in which we can be confident of consequences.
No,
and
but
the unintended consequences in Syria are enormous.
Well, obviously, the unintended consequences of talking about a red line have become enormous.
Yeah.
But you know,
no,
like
no, I, look, I'm not here. I'm not in the administration. I'm not here to say, boy, this has been handled perfectly, that this is a case study of how to manage a crisis. I think the red line issue has served to be problematic. I think some of the chess moves on the diplomatic table over the last couple of days have not played. I don't think they've been thought through as carefully as they might. But in the final analysis, the larger context of this is a horribly difficult set of decisions.
Quite. Look, but you've also activated Putin. I mean, we've got John Lyons writing, the Australian's Middle East correspondent, just putting it, it's so blunt. Last month, as relations between Washington and Moscow plummeted, President Barack Obama described his Russian counterpart, Vladimir Putin, as like a bored kid at the back of the classroom. Clearly, Lyons writes, as the past week has shown, that kid's bored is bored no longer, and for Obama, that is very bad news. So you've also got in the midst of this extraordinary competitor who wants to reposition his country, how would you be dealing with Putin?
Well, look, I think there are a number of things to be concerned about here. The most important is that in this post-Cold War world, a workable relationship between Moscow and Washington is essential. And frankly, relations have dipped to levels that threatened substantial distrust, and steps where Russia is working much more openly against American interests, whether it's on Snowden or other matters in the Middle East. And so I think you are right to be concerned in this regard. But I will say this. The idea that having a strong relationship with an extraordinarily vulnerable and despotic leader in Syria is perceived as a position of strength, I think, is wrong. Right? I don't believe that that is the case. The United States has a much stronger position, much closer allies. And I think Russia has taken some of these steps not only to thumb its nose at the United States, but out of desperation, no longer has close friendships in the Middle East. And this is their last client, patron state the Middle East. And so they are clinging to that relationship. Nevertheless, I don't think elevating Russia's role or indeed giving Syria lots of opportunities to drag their feet and thumb their nose at the international community is in the best interest of the United States either. So, I think I'd share some of your concerns about how this has played out. I do think the United States, working with key countries, has the ability to get out of this and to draw lines and say, look, we're not going to be involved in an endless diplomacy. But when we do that, when we do draw lines, what's absolutely central and important to the United States is that people recognize that that is not an empty gesture, that there is meaning behind it. The United States is and will be prepared to act accordingly.
Kurt Campbell, thank you very much indeed for that analysis.
Thank you.
Kurt Campbell.
Great to be with you.
Yes, lovely.
Let me get back to my crickets.
Yes, you get back to your crickets.
Eating crickets is probably more.
You've got to get used to this if you're going to come to Australia.
Talking about that.
You really do. You've got to get used to crickets. Okay. Don't turn your nose up at them. Kurt Campbell, chairman of the Asia Group, and recently named as a Lowy Institute Distinguished International Fellow. So he'll be on our shores. He's been a great mate of Australia's for many years. Your thoughts most welcome. Some of the writing on it today in the paper is really fascinating, I must say.